Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Welcome back to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio mobile app. We're going to continue to listen to the wise words of St. Paul, which are so applicable to us today. We need this. We need these words he's about to say to us because we live in an age of anxiety. We're going to open our Bibles up to Philippians chapter 4. And this is what St. Paul says, starting with verse 6. He says, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you." Beautiful words from St. Paul there. And we live in anxious times, as I mentioned off the top, whether it's a global pandemic, whether it's strange weather patterns, whether it's an economic meltdown, whether it's the mundane worries of daily life. How are you going to put food on the table? Are your kids going astray from the faith? Can you keep your marriage intact? There's so many things that we could be worrying about. But St. Paul wants us to trade our anxiety for God's peace. God wants to make that deal with us, and man, that is a great deal. We don't want to turn that down. And don't forget, St. Paul realized that it was possible because he lived it himself. He was in prison when this happened. And he applied it in his own life, and he knew that the Lord also applied it in his life too. Think about this. Jesus, just before he had to go to the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Matthew 26, verse 38. Jesus himself felt anxiety. He knows what we're going through. But what's the solution? Well, Jesus knew it. St. Paul knew it. And we've got to hear this too. Heed these words and put them into practice. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And that's exactly what Jesus did too in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told his friends, he told the apostles how he was feeling, and then immediately he goes and prays. That is a big clue for us as well. So Paul says, in every situation, prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And when he says in every situation, that means pray about everything, even things that we think, well, God's not concerned about this. He is. He really is. I remember some years ago, I have some friends that, although they were married for many, many years, never were able to have children, but they did have dogs, and the dogs almost became to them like their kids. They really loved these animals, and one day one of the dogs was sick, and so my friend went to the parish priest, and he wanted him to pray about this, and the priest kind of brushed him off, and the priest said, "I would never waste a prayer on a dog." Wow. At the time, I kind of agreed with them, but then I became a dog owner myself, and now I'm kind of taking the opposite view. It's not really a trivial thing. Well, I guess it might be to some people, but it is something that God cares about. God cares about certainly the individual who owns the dog. He cares about all of creation. These situations in our life, we can bring them to the Lord, not just the quote-unquote big ticket items in life, the big worries. You've got cancer. Hey, in every situation, that's what St. Paul says. St. Peter says something similar in one of his letters in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on him." Why? Because He cares for you. All your anxiety, not just some, but everything. The big ticket items, the so-called little things as well. God cares about it all. He knows the number of hairs on our head, as Jesus says. So this is what we're to do. Now, prayer and petition, prayer and supplication. So we've got to go to God. We've got to tell Him what we're looking for. And Paul says, do it with thanksgiving, no matter what the answer might be. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one of them came back to give Him thanks. That was a bad sign for the rest of them, and we don't want to be like that. We've got to give thanks in everything, as St. Paul says elsewhere, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And so when we do this, when we bring our requests to God, when we listen to St. Paul's command, and it's really a command, it's an imperative, do not worry. Just like he said, rejoice, that was also a command. Okay, you can make the choice. And how do you do that? Well, you give your worries to God. You tell Him what's bothering you, and He'll give you back His peace, the peace which transcends all understanding. And don't ask me what that's like, because I really, it can't be explained. That's the whole point of it. It's the peace that transcends all understanding. Jesus said in the gospel, again, this is right before He went to the cross, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. That it's a different kind of peace. Again, it's not a shaky peace. It doesn't depend on what's happening. It is deep down and nothing can shake it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. He said that in John chapter 14, verse 27. And a little bit later in John's gospel, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You are going to have problems in life. It comes with the territory. But guess what? We don't need to worry about them. We can let God worry about them. That is really, really comforting. As one spiritual writer, Jacques Philippe, says, when Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, those words have the same creative power as when God said, let there be light. It's going to happen. When He said, let there be light, you better believe there was light. And when He says, I leave you my peace, I give you my peace, guess what? It's there. It's there for the taking. We've just got to tap into it. And St. Paul says that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And he's using in the underlying Greek, the original Greek text, that's a term from the military usage, the Roman armies, soldiers guarding a city, guarding a town, maybe like they would guard the colony of Philippi from an outward attack. So it's that kind of a moat around our hearts. God is going to send the army, the warriors of peace, as it were, to guard our hearts so we don't need to give in to those anxieties. So how do we really deal with this on a practical level? How do you give your worries to God? Well, one thing you can do is write them down. Take a sheet of paper, take a journal, take a notebook. I always think it's a good idea to keep a prayer journal. Write them down. And this is a good exercise for a lot of reasons. Number one, when we write down our problems, when we write down our worries, very often it's easier for us to think them through. There's something about that kinetic connection between, you know, the pencil, the mind. I don't know. It just, when you write stuff down, it's not the same as typing. It's a different connection in the brain. Different synapses are firing. When you write down your problems, very often it's easier to see a solution. And the solution, of course, is that we've got to give it to God. But when we write them down, we can put them out there. Here's what I'm worried about. There it is. And then pray about it. Give it to God. Say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with right now. And thank Him. Thank Him for the answer that He's going to give. Do it. Jesus commands us to do it. Paul does as well. In so many places in the Bible, in Colossians 3:17, he writes, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then, when you're done writing it down, turn the page. turn the page. Forget about it for a little while. You can come back to it later, and you'll see that God did answer your prayer. God did. I wouldn't recommend tearing up the page or deleting it, shredding it. I think you should keep it because it's always good to say, oh yeah, I forgot that I prayed about that, but God did provide what I needed. And sometimes, just be prepared, the answer might be no. The night before he went to the cross, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, this cup of suffering, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. He said the same thing three times. So if anyone ever comes to you and says, well, these repetitive prayers, God is not pleased by them when we're praying the rosary. Jesus himself prayed the exact same thing three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. And guess what? The answer that he got was no. He still had to go to the cross. This was the way. But after he had asked his Heavenly Father about this, the cup wasn't taken away, but he was given the strength to drink it. He was given the strength to bear the weight of the cross. And so that's what you'll be getting as well, the strength to carry those burdens, because you won't be carrying them yourself. In a sense, Jesus will be your Simon of Cyrene. He will help you carry your cross. In fact, he'll bear the brunt of the weight. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. There's something else that we can think about when we look at these words from St. Paul. We need to take away, in the realm of thoughts, we need to replace our bad thoughts with good thoughts and meditate on those things. And this is why St. Paul says in verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So he's really talking about two things here. He's talking about thought, and he's talking about action. So thinking and doing, thought and action, it's so important in the Catholic life. As the Bible says, as a person thinks in his heart, so that person is. And as Batman said, to quote Batman in Batman Begins, it's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. Thought and action, thinking and doing. Well, what should we be thinking about? I really want to focus on replacing the bad thoughts with good thoughts, specifically what Paul says here, the true, the good, and the beautiful. This is what Catholic theology is traditionally called the transcendentals, and they attract a lot of people to our faith. Let's talk about beauty just for a second. Jonathan Romig tells the story of sitting in one of his grad school theology classes when one time a student raised his hand, and he was kind of a hipster. He wore a beanie, he played the guitar, he probably put on coffee shop concerts. He was an artiste. He raised his hand and he asked, is ugliness the result of the fall? And this the class just kind of rolled their eyes. They thought it was a dumb question, but maybe not. Maybe that's actually a really, really good question. Has the original sin of Adam and Eve, our first parents, has that kind of distorted our vision, whether or not we see something as beautiful or ugly? Well, this is one of the things that Paul says. He commands them. He commands the Philippians to rejoice. He also commands them to think about beauty. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So we need to intentionally cultivate that habit, the habit of good thinking. And so a lot of people these days, you know, especially during the pandemic, have been binge-watching things. They've been binge-watching, I guess you could call them, at some level, art, Netflix programs, or the news. We have to be really, really careful about what we let into the eye gate, because what we're seeing, what we're looking at, what we're beholding, it's going to get into our thoughts, and it can affect how we feel. But when we see something that's truly beautiful, it can actually make us feel a lot better, a lot closer to God, a lot less afraid and anxious, because we're tapping into transcendence, the transcendentals, the eternal things beyond this world, the things that point us to our beautiful God. Because if God created a world that's full of so much beauty, what does that tell us about God himself? You know, I've noticed lately, there's so many Twitter accounts that just, they're set up just to post pictures of beautiful Catholic things, churches, art. And they're super popular. They're getting tons of follows, tons of likes, tons of shares. People are looking for beauty. That's what they're looking for. And they can find it in God. He is the author of all that is beautiful. And in the very first book of the Bible, the very first verses of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You can really look at this as the canvas of creation, as it were. And he begins to paint time and space, the planets, the stars, the heavens, the earth. Isn't that beautiful? And it says that God, if you read on in Genesis, God saw that it was good. We did a whole series on Genesis on The Faith Explained. You can check it out in the archives on relevantradio.com for The Faith Explained program. And the Hebrew word for good is the word tov. So you might have, if you've ever been to the Holy Land, you might have heard someone say, Boker Tov, good morning. And that word Tov can mean beauty as well as something good. And so God said it was not only good what he'd created, but it's also very beautiful. And so it's interesting because in a sense, people always talk about, is beauty in the eye of the beholder? Well, the ultimate beholder was God himself. When he created everything, he said it was good. It was beautiful. And there was nobody else to see it. Human beings were not created until later on, verse 26. But yet in the first 25 verses of Genesis, God saw that it was good 6 times. So there is true beauty in creation. It is objectively good in the eyes of God, even if we don't realize it. And this is what we need to find. We need to find God in everything. Look at what it says at the beginning of Psalm 19. It says, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That language of creation speaks of the glory of God and the beauty of the God who created this beautiful world that we live in, and you and me as well. We are good. We are created to be good. Everything in creation is good. And so we need to honor him in that way. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, Paul writes, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Really, no one should have any excuse here. Everyone should be able to know, just from creation itself, that there is a God, a powerful God of beauty. And so we need this. We need beauty in our lives. I heard a story from the writer Makoto Fujimura that explains this so well, far better than I could. He talks about how after he first got married, he and his wife began their journey with very little to their name. He writes this, quote, after Judy and I got married in the summer of 1983, after college, we moved to Connecticut for Judy to pursue her master's degree in marriage counseling. I taught at a special education school and painted at home. We had a tight budget, and I often had to ration our food, lots of tuna cans, just to get through the week. One evening, I was sitting alone, waiting for Judy to come home to our small apartment. worried about how we were going to afford the rent and pay for necessities over the weekend. A refrigerator was empty and I had no cash left. Then Judy walked in and she had brought home a bouquet of flowers. I got really upset. "How could you think of buying flowers if we can't even eat?" I remember saying, frustrated. Judy's reply has been etched in my heart for over 30 years now. She said, "We need to feed our souls too." Wow, that story, I think in many ways, is exactly what St. Paul was talking about to the Philippians and to us. I'm Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to The Faith Explained today. Join me on The Cale Clark Show at 5 p.m. Central this evening, and I'll see you tomorrow on The Faith Explained. And you can share the podcast with a friend through relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. God bless you.